Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and open up with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are winding down our message series on building the Christians and growing the right way. Today we're going to tackle some topics that will be a challenge to us, I hope. So far we've covered 10 different areas of our spiritual growth, our spiritual maturing. That we need to make sure that if we are walking close to the Lord as we should and as we should desire to do, we need to be able to see these things growing in our life. As we begin to wrap this up, we want to look this morning at the area of our giving and our service. Now, that elicits collective groans, doesn't it? Many believers go, oh, we're going to talk about giving. And then there's the visitors. They're going, see, I knew this was the wrong Sunday to go to that church. It's all people ever talk about in the churches. Give, 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 give. Money, money, money. The story is told about a man that was on vacation, strolling along outside of his hotel, and he heard the cries of a frantic woman. And he rushed to where those screams were coming from, and he sees this child laying there on the ground, and it's pretty certain that this child is choking. And without even thinking, this man, he just rushes right over and he snatches this kid up by the ankles and begins shaking this kid and swatting him on the back and shaking him some more. And pretty soon a quarter popped out of his mouth and the kid's fine. He's breathing. And the woman goes, oh, she says, thank you so much. You must be a doctor. You knew just what to do. And he says, no, I'm a Baptist pastor. That's how a lot of people see giving. Well, this message might surprise you this morning, keeping this in biblical terminology. Maybe a tithe of the message is going to be about money. Maybe a tithe. Very little as we take a look at giving and our service. You know, you can really tell a lot, though, about your spiritual growth when you deal with this topic. You can tell a lot about where you're at with the Lord when going to the polls, you allow your billfold to dictate your vote rather than your beliefs and your Bible. You can tell a lot about a person's spiritual growth when you listen to them talk and the economy is the number one issue that they want to talk about. And then there's others that don't seem to even understand what it is they've been given. And that's where we want to start this morning. We want to consider as believers in Christ, what is it that we have been given? Because that sets the tone for everything else that we would do in every ounce of our giving. Think about what we've been given. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Just think about this morning what we've been given. We're well familiar with John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. While you're here in 2 Corinthians, keep your marker here in chapter 4. Go to chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you will, and look with me at verse 15. And Paul very simply says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gifts. Christians, do we get it? Do we understand what it is that we have been given as a believer in Christ? And do we understand that as Christians, things keep getting better and better? I know this is bad English, but it gets gooder and gooder. The longer that we are saved, the longer that we know the Lord Jesus Christ, it started with Him giving of His Son for us that we might be saved, but the giving doesn't stop. It just keeps coming. Not only have we been given the gift of salvation, forgiveness, and eternal life, Not only have we been given a new name that's been written down in glory and the promise of heaven someday when we leave this earth, not only have we received the adoption of sons and daughters whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that terminology, when you understand the terminology and the place where it was used, it was important because our adoption means that we are permanent members of the family of God. We cannot be unadopted. We are eternally secure. Not only have we been given the indwelling Holy Spirit, the seal until the day of redemption, the Comforter who will abide with us forever. Look back in the book of Romans chapter 8. Not only have we been given those things, but in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. The apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us, what's your next word? Wow! We have been given all things by God. In the book of Ephesians, we have these words, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Christian, this morning, do we look at ourselves in the mirror and go, I am looking at the richest person in the world? Or do we instead look at ourselves and go, what's he talking about? I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a billionaire. I'm not a gazillionaire. I don't have fancy cars. I don't live in a fancy house. I don't live in the rich end of town. I don't have a job that just, you know, just pays me this ginormous salary. I don't have toys parked in the garage and boats on the lake and all that kind of stuff. I don't have any of that stuff. I can't go out to fancy restaurants. Bologna is my filet mignon. Spam is my lobster. I can't have all that stuff. What do you mean we're the richest people in the world? All of those things I mentioned, when you die, you leave it behind. That which is laid up in store for us in heaven is that where we are co-inheritors of all that the Son stands to inherit. We are rich people. And the Lord just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. Do we understand, folks, that maybe our mindset needs to change a little bit? Maybe a lot of it? Because it is so easy to focus on the things we don't have, and it's easy to focus on the things that we sure wish we did. We all do it, don't we? Don't sit there and go, no, I never do that. You liar. We all do that. We see something that we like. We go, oh man, that would be so nice to have that. Man, I wish I had that. That would be so much fun. I would enjoy that. We all do that. But maybe we need to kind of turn that thing a little bit or a lot and start saying, Lord, look at what I got. Look at what you've given me. Lord, look at what you keep giving me. Lord, you never run out. You just constantly give. And you give, and you give. That's what we cannot forget because it makes the next point very, very important. The second point is this. The expectation upon us is to give in equal proportion. The expectation upon us is to give in equal proportion. Go in your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 12. Now, before we read the verse of Scripture, how many of you agree, and you have to because the Scripture says so, that God has given us a lot? You agree with that? I mean, an immeasurable amount? You agree with that? Luke chapter 12, verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given of him be much required, And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Have we been given much? Then are we not expected to give much? We have to. We aren't going to read through the context of this passage, but let me just say that it is a very foolish and a dangerous thing for those of us who have been given so much to give so little. And I know immediately some of you are just, your hand is gripping really tight on your back pocket. Have I said anything about money yet? Absolutely not. Don't, ladies, don't start hiding your, pushing your purse under the pew a little bit farther behind you. Don't do that. I didn't say anything about that. Yes, God has given us money. That's absolutely true. But hasn't God given us so much more than just money? And to whom much is given, much is required. Now that leads us to the third point. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Let me show you the point that will make you release your grip on your purse and your billfold. You say, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of human nature. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your billfold, your purse, your portfolio. No, that's financial stuff, right? I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Uh-oh. All of a sudden, we have found something much more valuable than our valuables. We have found something that means more to us than money. Myself. And the Lord's, you say, oh, well, good then, if we don't have to worry about our billfolds and our purses and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. When God gets a hold of you as a person, He will have a hold of your billfold. He will have a hold of your finances. When God gets a hold of us as a person, we are to present our bodies to the Lord, living sacrifices. You know what a sacrifice is? That means everything given. To whom everything has been given, everything is required. That's just a little twist on that verse out of Luke. To whom much has been given, much is required. To whom everything has been given, Jesus Christ gave us everything. We owe Him everything. It has nothing to do with earning salvation or keeping salvation. It has to do with because He gave, because He saved, because He loves. It should be the natural outpouring of our life. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the first five verses. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we have to the church of Corinth, they are being told about the Macedonian churches who gave at a time of need. And the Bible says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Oh, that was nice. They took up a big collection. They heard that there was a need. Let's give money. Let's take up an offering. But verse 5 says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The money wasn't the first thing that was given. It was themselves. When we go back to that Romans 12, 1 passage where the Bible tells us to give our bodies as a living sacrifice, how many people need help in this area? How many people, how many Christians need help in this area? Here's how we know that we need help. Somebody says, hey, we have this need, and you have the ability to help with that need. But you say, oh, no, not me. Let me write you a check. And you hire somebody to do this. Let's get somebody else to do this. You want me to share the gospel? Let's just put more money in the offering and let's hire more church staff. Let's hire the pastor. Let's put more missionaries out there. Not me. Let's just give some money to get this job done. You want me to make something? Oh no, let's just go to the store and buy it. See how easy it is to all of a sudden not give of ourselves, but give of the money? Because we think if we gave of the money, then we gave of ourselves and we're off the hook. I've still got all my free time and all that kind of stuff, but I gave to that. I feel so good about myself. Pat me on the back. Give me a hero cookie, whatever. No. Give of ourselves. You know what? We don't all have the same amount of finances to give. But we all have ourselves to give. We all have 100% of the person that's occupying those 22 inches that you're sitting in, or however many you're taking up, or how little. You have 100% of that person. But we all cannot give the same amounts of money. Do you see how this surpasses financial giving? We have to give of ourselves first, giving of ourselves sacrificially. Now, go back to where we were at in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where your marker's at. Return to verse 7. And you go, oh, I just don't know that I could give of myself like that. I don't know that I could give 100% of myself. The Lord gave me this thought, and I thought this is kind of a comical thought, but it fits. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Typically, we will interpret that verse that this treasure has been put in earthen vessels. Wow, God put the most precious, wonderful things into something like us. You know, and it's kind of the whole 1 Corinthians passage where he has not chosen the rich, the noble, and all that, but he's chosen the foolish and the poor and all that kind of stuff to confound the wise and all that. We kind of interpret it that way. But why did God put the treasure in earthen vessels? Now, follow me on this. Where do you put your treasures? Maybe at your home you have a safe. Steel safe, reinforced, got that deadbolt, maybe a couple of deadbolts. You've got the little dial that you can spin and all that kind of stuff, and you feel like you're a banker, you know. You put your treasures in your personal safe. But then if you want to get something out, you have to say, now, where did I put that combination at? Because it's not something you go into all the time. So where did I put that thing? And then you sit there and you spin and mess it up two or three times before, I can't get this thing. Why can't I? I got to get in this. And the more frustrated you get trying to get it out, the more times you mess up. Finally, you hear that beloved click. Oh. Then you get out what you want, put back what you want, shut the door, spin the dial again, and the next time you got to go through that nightmare all over again. Maybe you put stuff in the safety deposit box at a bank. If you've got a safety deposit box, isn't that a fun journey to the bank? You go into the bank, you got to wait on them. You got to wait on some teller to take you back. You kind of feel like you're going through this high security kind of a trip to go back to this. They will take you back to check your ID, make sure you're who you say that you are, and take the key and they'll open up this box thing and they'll pull the thing out and they leave you in this quiet room. So you can very secretly put it back away. If it was possible to put your treasures at Fort Knox, well, you might get them there, but you're not getting them out very easy, are you? Where did the Lord tell us that he put his treasures? He put them in little earthen vessels. We're his piggy banks. How easy can you get the money out of a piggy bank? You know, smash that thing. It doesn't take much to smash that piggy bank and pieces go all over and you pick your money out. It's easy to break a piggy bank. It is easy to break a earthen vessel. Why did God put his treasure in an earthen vessel? So that we could be broken for him and the treasure would pour out. Did you ever think about that? When I saw that in Scripture and I thought about that, I thought, oh, that's cool. That is so cool. How many times do we whine and we grouse when we get broken by something going on in life? And we feel like we are just falling apart. The best time that you will see a person's Christianity is when they're broken, when they're falling apart, when everything's just collapsing on them. The piggy bank got broke and the treasure came spilling out. That makes me happy. That just thrills me to death to think about that. Kind of helps put your earthly trials into perspective. Now, when we're going through the trial, we're not thinking, oh, great, I'm the Lord's piggy bank today. Here I go, I'm broken. Now, you know, we don't think that way. But it's easy to sit back and to look at that and think, huh, I was broken for a reason. So I could give myself sacrificially. That's what a sacrifice is. We're saying, Lord, use me up. Many of us say, oh, I want to keep something in reserve for myself. God says, no, give it all up. 1 Timothy, let me read a couple passages to you, some examples of this. 1 Timothy 1:11. Paul told Timothy, he says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul says, I have been committed with this gospel message. It wasn't something to keep in an earthen vessel. It was something that was supposed to be broken and shared. And Paul was definitely a broken individual, wasn't he? Think of all the things, the torturous things he went through just to share the gospel. Ephesians 4:28, the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So, wow, we're supposed to give to help others. In Acts chapter 9, we have a lady by the name of Tabitha. And the Bible says there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And she was sick and died. And then Peter arose and went, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. She gave sacrificially of her time, her talents, her skills, to be a blessing and a help to these widow women. It's not all financial, is it? And in fact, maybe it's only a tenth of our giving that really could be put into that category of finances. It's everything else that can be given. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at a fellow by the name of Epaphroditus. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, it says, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. He was willing to give his own life, sick unto death. We're not told what it is, but we are told how he got it. He got it in his service to Christ. You know, it is sad in America because we'll have some folks that they've got a stubbed toe, and that'll keep them out of church. They got a hangnail. They got a little bit of a headache. How many of you have a headache this morning? Awesome. Glad you came to church. Glad you joined with me. I got a headache too. It's a daily thing. But some folks, that will stop them from doing anything that the Lord wants them to do. How many of you got just aches and pains elsewhere? Oh, that brings you all in. All right. Glad you came this morning. Glad you're willing to serve the Lord in spite of it. You know, it just hurts too much. Well, you know, the Lord can fix that. He could take you home. He could just take you right out of the picture. While we're here, let's serve Him. It's called full sacrifice. You got all of eternity to heal up. Amen? You got all eternity to get better. And when you get better, boy, you will get better. Now, two more. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. You go, uh-oh, I knew eventually we'd get here. Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Fourth point is this: you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Many ministries today, and it's very sad to see this happening, they are teaching against tithing and saying that it's law and that it's Old Testament. Well, do some study of the Scripture and you'll find out that the tithing was about 500 years before the law was given. And Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. Read the book of Hebrews. Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Why did he do it? Was it commanded of him? No. For some reason, Abraham knew that he was to do that. Yes, tithing is in the Old Testament, but there's also a lot of other things that are in the Old Testament that are in the New Testament as well. The tithe is the first tenth of our giving, the first tenth of our income. We are, according to Proverbs, we are to honor the Lord with the first of our increase, the first fruits of our increase. All right, so here's the thing that we have. We all have the first tenth. What we often don't have is the tenth tenth. We get down to the end of the month, the end of the week, and we go, oh, wow, there's a lot of expenses this month, a lot of expenses this week. Don't have that. But we all had the first. You say, well, okay, then, I'll give the Lord the tenth, and then that's it. Oh, to whom much is given, say it with me, much is. And how much does the Lord own of it? All of it. He just tells us specifically what to do with that tenth. Our ministry here, the work that is done through this church, the missionaries that we support, it is dependent upon the tithings and the offerings of the church family. It is not biblical to support your church with soup suppers, rummage sales, raffles, whatever it might be. That isn't scriptural. We don't do that. We support the church through the tithes and the offerings. Navy Commodore Uriah P. Levi was a veteran of the War of 1812. He was a Jewish believer from Philadelphia, and he once was asked how he could give so much to the Lord's work and still possess great wealth. And the Commodore said this. He says, oh, as I shovel it out, he shovels it in, and the Lord has a bigger shovel. That's good. Trust the Lord's shovel. Trust that shovel. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Last point in this, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, the Bible tells us this. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Our giving should be done with joy. Our giving should be done with joy. Story is told about a mother who gave her little girl a quarter and a dollar before church. And she says, put whichever in the offering that you feel like the Lord would want you to put in, and you can keep the other for yourself. The little girl thought, okay. So they go to church, and the preacher must have preached something about this. And when they got home, the mom asked the daughter, says, what did you keep? And she says, well, I kept the dollar and I gave the Lord the quarter. Mother was a little disappointed, but she says, why did you do that? And she says, well, the preacher said that we are supposed to give joyfully, and I knew that I could give my quarter a lot more joyfully than my dollar. If there's not joy in our giving, something is wrong in our heart. We ought to consider it an absolute joy to be able to give back to the Lord, not just financially. That does play a part in it. To bring our tithes and our offerings, to set that money aside out of our paychecks and to say, Lord, this belongs to you. That ought to be a joy. But it ought to be a joy to be able to serve Him, to give of ourselves to Him, to give of ourselves to other people. We ought to find joy in that. To take what God has given us, the times, the talents, the skills, the abilities and all that, to take that and to be able to invest that into the Lord's work and to say, Lord, thank you for giving this to me so that now I can give it. It ought to be done with joy. It is my hope, my prayer this morning, that every person that has been here in any kind of service capacity has found joy in the work that they have done this morning for the Lord. It is my desire that when we leave this place and we enter into God's work, however that may be, that we will find joy in it. I hope it is a joy for us to be in the Lord's house this morning. And if it's not a joy, we're going to deal with that tonight as we talk about worship and what worship is all about and what worship entails. But it really ought to be a joy to us to be able to be and do the things that the Lord wants us to do. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. If it's not a joy, then the chances are really good that our heart attitude is not right. And that's based on this verse right here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if it's not a joy for us to give, it's because our heart's not in it. And if our heart's not in it, it's not the fault of the people sitting around us. It's the fault that's inside the person looking back at us in the mirror. Because God wants us to have His joy. And if we don't have joy in the work and the giving and the service that we do for Him, that's our problem. And it's something that we've got to address today. This morning, I want us to ask ourselves, where are we heavily invested? Where are we heavily invested? Are we heavily invested in the things of this world? Or are we heavily invested in heavenly things? Where are we heavily invested this morning? Pull out your portfolio. I'm not talking finances. I'm talking your portfolio of life. And see where your investments are at. How you've invested what God has given you. Are you giving Him in proportion to what He has given you, Christian? If not, if we can't do it joyfully, then let's ask the Lord to do a work in our hearts this morning. He's already convicting. We're already knowing something's not right. All right, let's get it right this morning. But if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to go back to the very first point. And I want to tell you about what Jesus gave for you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that God commendeth His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, God did not wait for us to become a good person because none of us could be a good person. God didn't wait for us to become sinless because none of us could become sinless. God didn't wait for us to get our act together because not a one of us can get our act together. God demonstrated His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died on a cross for our sins. We're sinners. We came into this world sinners. We are guilty individuals before Almighty God. And the Bible says that the condemnation of that guilt is eternity in hell. And that is deserved by everybody in here, including myself. I deserve to go to hell someday. But God loved me so much that He gave His Son. It don't get any better of a gift than that. You cannot give more than what God gave for us to be saved, His only begotten Son. So that whosoever, that's you, would believe on Him, would have everlasting life. Lost person, Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for you, because of you. He gave a gift, and He offers the gift to be received by you in His Son, Jesus Christ, who did not stay dead, but was buried and rose again. That is the fullness of the gospel. Jesus crucified, Jesus buried, Jesus arisen. And today, lost person, you must be born again. A gift has been given. We complicate salvation. I mean, we really complicate it. Anytime somebody offers a gift to you, birthday, special occasion, Christmas, what do you have to do to get that gift? Do you have to pay them something for it? Somebody hands you a gift, it's all wrapped up, and say, well, wait a second, let me go get my checkbook. Let me go see if I got enough cash to pay for this. Well, then it's no longer a gift. You did something for it. You say, okay, well, if you're going to give me this, then I'm going to agree to do this, this, and this, and this for you from here on out. That's no longer a gift. You simply reach out and you take it. Say thank you. That'd be polite. But you simply take the gift. You say, how can I take the gift that God offers me in salvation? The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, if you will call upon the name of the Lord today, you will be saved. That's how you receive the gift. That's how you take it. Tell Him thank you. I think you would want to. Lost person, trust Christ today and be saved. Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, this morning we acknowledge that You have given to us so much. And we are grateful, Lord. Undeserving, but very, very grateful. And as You deal with our hearts and our lives this morning, as believers, help us, Lord, to look at how we give and serve You. But Lord, especially this morning, if there's one here without Jesus as Savior, we're asking that that heart is under such heavy conviction right now, and that they would just crumble at Your feet today and know what it is to be redeemed, to be forgiven and saved. Give us an opportunity, Lord, to introduce somebody to Jesus, for it's in His name we pray.